I'm going to read out of the book of Romans, chapter 10, just for a moment. That's not really my text, but I want to introduce the sermon today. Last time I was here, I spoke on prayer, and I hope that you remember that. Prayer is probably the hardest matter that a Christian goes through as far as his duties and responsibilities to spiritual things. Prayer is the most difficult and I think the most neglected, especially in our day. Many times people seem to get by on spiritual things without spiritual activity. At least it seems that they do because they get to church. But really, we cannot get by unless we pray. And yet it is neglected, and a great neglect in our life, sad to say. And I think that we need some encouragement in prayer, and I preached on that last time. Today I'm going to preach on a second matter, that a matter of preaching. What preaching is, not necessarily going in detail of it, but the preaching itself, it's very important. How shall they hear? In verse, if you would, let's back up in verse 13 in chapter 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. A key to this passage of Scripture is that we have the preaching of God's Word. It's very important. Prayer is absolutely necessary, and I would say, as I've heard other preachers maybe give comment on this, that it is not as important as prayer, but it is absolutely important. We need to have the preaching of God's Word. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And that doesn't mean that you as an individual or even as a church can send out a preacher. But God sends his preachers out, and it is that work of God in his heart that makes them sent. How can they preach except they be sent? Many people can stand behind a pulpit and speak words, but that preaching is not only from God's power and God sent power upon them. How shall they preach except they be sent? And then it says there is a beauty in that. How beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I do not think that many people understand and recognize the beauty of the preaching of the gospel, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But anybody that has ever been saved, they have remembered that somebody told them of Christ. And how beautiful are the feet of them that are sent. Now, I want you to go to the Old Testament with me. And I preached this sermon some years ago in a preacher's meeting. I do not think I've preached it in a revival any time. But I did preach it to preachers. And I hope that you'll listen as we read the 37th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 37. There's a man here that we're going to talk about in this. Man is named Joseph. Now you may say, how does he have anything to do with preaching? But I say to you that if we would pay attention today, I think that God would overcome our blindness maybe to something and see what preaching is. And we see it in the life of Joseph. Now, and Jacob, verse 1, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And there, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Our Father, how thankful we are for your word that we can study and that we can know, we can read, we can be a part of, Lord, these matters as you reveal them to us. And we're grateful for that. Lord, help us to see our responsibility today. Lord, I know you like us to sing from our heart. But Lord, you want us to obey you. And we have responsibilities. And I pray that, dear God, we'd see those responsibilities. Lord, it's not the soldier that just praises his general. In fact, if that's all he does, his general is not very pleased. But it's the soldier that goes out and fights the war, gives himself to it, that pleases his commander. And Lord, we can talk a lot about worship. But Lord, if we're not in the war, if we're not in our responsibility, if we're not doing that which you tell us to do, our words are empty. I pray, Lord, we'd learn to talk less about worship and talk more in the battle. Preach the word. And come alone with you in prayer. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, preaching is unpopular. Did you see this? Joseph, he's preaching. Now, we don't call it that, I know. Nobody probably has even never heard anything like that before. But as far as I can tell, this is the first message that God gave to an individual where he was responsible for repeating it to someone else and give us the details of it. Now, I know that that God told him there was going to be a flood, and I know Noah preached that. I know that. But here a message is given to Joseph, and Joseph gives it directly to his brothers. You see, I want you to hear this. Here is a message that God spoke to Adam and Eve, that wonderful gospel message that one would be born and that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And we hear that, but we never heard them repeat it. We don't find, and although I think they did, we do not find a message given to Abel. I think they did give it to Abel. But we don't have it repeated. And we don't have the results of it. That is, or the reaction to the preaching of God's word until we come here to Joseph. God speaks to people in the Old Testament, and they certainly did repeat it to others. We see much of that in all the great books of prophets. But here we have a beginning of that. We have a message given in a dream to Joseph, and Joseph gives it to his brethren. Not once. He receives two messages, and he gives them both directly to his brothers. That is what preaching is. It's the proclamation of God's message to mankind. The purpose of preaching is to lead men and women to God and away from sin. But as far as I can tell, this is the first time that the message, exactly as it's given, is spread out from the time that it was given and given to others. And the reaction of that is shown to us. Preaching is unpopular. Do you see it? His brothers didn't like it, did they? Not even his dad liked it. Preaching is unpopular, but his preaching is absolutely needed. Many people today are putting in the place of preaching drama, entertainment, and celebrity endorsements. It's a personality instead of a message. And that is what is emphasized many times instead of the true Word of God being proclaimed. And churches are fooled by thinking that they can have success spiritually without preaching. But the reason it's unpopular is not in the fact of what the message is necessarily itself, but in the nature of man. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And when Joseph repeats the dream that he had, both of them, to his brothers, they hate him. They despise him. They do not like the message at all. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You're never going to have a popular matter with the world in the matter of preaching. The beauty of the feet of those that go and preach the gospel is only seen when that message is received and understood. Salvation certainly changes the heart of a man, and he says, "Oh, how wonderful you were to preach to me the gospel of peace." But until a man receives Christ as his Savior, he runs from the preaching. Are you hearing me? He does not attend to it, does not like it, enjoy it, because they are spiritually discerned. These are matters of God that God has to open the heart up to. Nonetheless, the preacher is to proclaim the Word of God. I've heard preachers talk about Joseph and criticize him for bragging about what he was going to say. I think sometimes that's the way people think about preachers, that it is something that they're lording over others. They're saying this is the way you ought to be and this is the way you ought to act, and they don't like that. They resent it. You see, the brothers did not like it, but it wasn't Joseph that was wrong. God gave him a message, and God gave him that message to proclaim, and he did. You may think Joseph a spoiled child. I do not. I think he's an obedient servant of God in giving the message to the brothers. The message that he gave them was absolutely necessary for their future salvation. And even though it was an unpopular message, and may I say, if he didn't know it was unpopular at the first, he certainly knew it after he told the message once. To tell it the second time, he knew it would be unpopular, yet he was faithful to the message and to the work of God. You need a preacher. You may not always like the message, but you need a preacher. And that preaching is absolutely necessary for your spiritual well-being. Not for your comfort. Not necessarily for the moment, even encouragement. But for your spiritual well-being. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It is not surprising, and in fact, I think sometimes this is why preachers think that Joseph shouldn't have told his dreams, because it's not surprising the reaction that he got. Many, I think he would have been wise if he'd have kept his mouth shut. But the Bible talks about the preaching of the Word of God as being foolishness in the eyes of the world. And so the preacher, Paul would say, is a fool to the world. Even many in the Bible days, in the days of the apostles, did not think that Paul was right in his preaching, and they did not like it, even though they even claimed Christ. But preaching is important. We've narrowed down preaching, haven't we? We've shortened the course of preaching. We've made preaching shorter and shorter in churches. We've made the times of preaching less and less. Instead of having meetings of long duration, we have as meetings as short as possible. We have neglected the preaching of God's word in American churches. And we wonder what's wrong with us spiritually. Paul said that we're not to despise prophesying, but I fear that we do despise them. It is a condition that should alarm us, concern us. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But to have the preaching as being just a responsibility and duty, something we have to put up with, is a telltale sign of our heart in its spiritual condition. Preaching was the last thing I wanted to do in life. I told my wife just yesterday, it's amazing, I love to preach, but it was the thing I hated the most. My father was a preacher. I don't mean I hated his preaching. I meant that I didn't want to get up there and do it. And yet it is the most rewarding matter I could think of, maybe except for prayer, a prayer life. Preaching the word of God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Preaching is not just the imparting of knowledge of God and the Bible. It is not just intellectual or emotional appeals, but it is spiritual activity at its very core. Anyone that has participated and been a part of the preaching of the Word of God knows what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about just behind a pulpit. But if you've been used to speak the Word of God to somebody by the Spirit of God, you know that it is spiritual activity at its very core. The purpose of preaching is to lead men and women to Christ and away from sin. I can think of nothing more important. If preaching is the leading of others out of sin and back to God through the proclamation of God's word, reinforced by the Holy Spirit and men's living and loving, Joseph then was a preacher of the first class. He had a text from God and he proclaimed it, and he also lived it by faith. His message was heard and seen, and his life was given to those who received it. It is a great blessing to be called to this task. I think there was a time when churches recognized that that task was more important than anything for their preacher to have. To be God called, not to be distracted by every activity and every whim of the church. But the primary role of the preacher. All Christians have the responsibility in some sense. That is, you are to proclaim the Word of God. And believe me, it's a wonderful thing before a person preaches behind the pulpit, if he's called to that, he ought to be proclaiming the Word of God, what he knows, to those that he knows. The day after I was saved, I went to my neighbor. His name was Corky. He later shot himself in the head playing Russian roulette and killed himself. I said to Corky, little 9-year-old boy, I said, Corky, have you ever been saved? He said, yes. I said, how are you saved? He said, my brothers jumped in the swimming pool and saved me. But I have to tell you that experience of preaching the gospel as best I could. Not very well, but as much as I knew to do, was God-led and was my blessing. not only on an individual basis to proclaim with a message that God has given to you, and every saved person in this room has God-given message, but to uphold your preacher through prayer and encouragement, through agreement with, what is agreement with? A good amen. Through agreement with and promotion of preaching. If you could have a task in a church harder, I do not know what it would be but to pray. Preachers' wives, deacons, church members, etc. are responsible for the preaching of God's word in the church. You're responsible. As a young pastor, I remember those that came to me, and I stumbled so badly. I could hardly read the Bible out loud, and when I got up to read, I would be so nervous that I would stumble and miss and pronounce word after word after word. A man told me later, he said, I could hardly understand where you were going. And yet those very ones were the ones that stood up with me when I preached. I think they knew the weakness that I had. Maybe out of pity, they wanted to hold my hands up. The poor preacher needed help. And how I needed help. And still do. It is your responsibility. Preaching behind this pulpit is also not just in someone else's hands that does the preaching, but it's in your hands also. You just don't realize. The courageous and bold preacher needs encouragement, for the world and the lost will always try to beat him down. Can you imagine what the brothers did to Joseph? Fear of hurting people's feelings, of angry reactions, of losing popularity should not lead us to wish for easier ways, but it should lead us to our knees praying for the preacher. God's work works. Some preachers are Elijahs with bombastic and sudden methods. Others are Jeremiahs with tender, broken weeping. And still others are Isaiahs with great intellects, giving sermons of deep studied thought. But all true preachers preach by and through the Holy Spirit of God. Their sermons are empowered not by intellect or human emotion or by forceful personality, but by the Almighty. Young Joseph had a responsibility to give his brothers a message, and it cost him. Things do not change. Joseph had a message and he publicly proclaimed it. As far as we can see in the scripture, there was no shame for it nor regret for proclaiming it. He was a true preacher. He had courage. He had a message. He was not ashamed of what God had told him. And he wanted others to know it. Know the message. It's not all that's there. Had Joseph just received the dream and told it, it would not have been enough. There needed to be more than just receiving it and telling it. Joseph had a personal desire and hunger for righteousness. this personal desire, this hunger, these matters of God that were in him, was necessary for him to be the preacher. I want you to hear it. Preaching is not just a Sunday morning. You understand that. You work at a job, and if you talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, the preaching is, the proclaiming the message is just part. The rest you've got to live, don't you? And you better live it. And if you do proclaim it, you better act it. You better live it. And it better not be pretended, but from a deep desire within your heart. That's what a preacher has to have. And I need to pray for you to have that. And you need to pray for me to have that. Our hearts are desperately wicked. And many times, if we're not careful, we'll lose that desire and that burning for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to pray for one another. There must be this personal work. Aren't you glad there is a Jeremiah? Not only that he proclaimed the message, but he had a real desire for God and he wept for his people. Aren't you glad there was an Elijah that would stand on Mount Carmel courageously? Not just proclaim it's not going to rain until I speak it, but also then to take the challenge and speak publicly and boldly in the danger that fate he faced. For his personal desire and hunger was there, and it was for righteousness. Joseph is not concerned about himself. He's concerned about his brothers. But that's not all. A preacher must be empowered and sustained by God. Look at the long message. 20 years passes. Think about it. And for him, that message, for it to continue to affect, he had to be sustained. He could not give up. He could not quit. He could not ignore God's purpose for his life. He had to be sustained in that. And I say to you sometimes, and I speak from experience, the beating up is sometimes so strong that we want to walk away from it. Joseph is going to be enslaved, but the message must not be destroyed. He must be empowered. He must endure. He must be sustained. In this slavery, he's continuing on with the hope of the message. The message is not just to the hearers, but the message is also to the one that speaks it. He not only speaks the message hoping that someone will believe, he also must be sustained by faith in believing it himself. And that is the proof, isn't it, whether he believes it, as to whether he is sustained in it. Joseph, not only as he is enslaved, but then lied about, accused of being immoral with Potiphar's wife, she accused him of what we hear today in the news, right? And he's innocent, but yet he's thrown in prison by his master, Potiphar. And then years in prison. May I say, the same message that is proclaimed and preached by preachers in genuine ways, that message is the same message that sustains them and empowers them in that message. Believed it is. Joseph, no matter how discouraged or difficult it is, yet the message is sustaining to him. And that is what is wonderful about the work of God. It is so wonderful. Did you know? You can never take a message that God gives you. You're reading along in the Bible and God speaks to your heart. You can never take it and share it with anyone that it doesn't encourage you and strengthen you and makes your faith strong. To preach of heaven is an old preacher's sermon. And it encourages him. The revival of Elijah's day, maybe, well, that's probably not something that maybe an inexperienced preacher maybe would look at as being wonderful, but the experiences of Pentecost, let's suppose, maybe the young preacher's encouragement. But believe me, the message of the Bible is the encouragement for you everywhere you go. You need to be a preacher. By the way, if we all were preachers, we'd probably be praying a lot more for the preacher. By the way, why do preachers, even though they may still stand behind the pulpit, why do they quit preaching? It's a war. And sometimes we grow tired. Joseph did not. Aren't you thankful? Joseph waited. And church, listen to this. Sermons, real preaching from the Word of God, empowered by God's Spirit, over a period of time, affects the brothers. These are murderous men. Well, don't they hate the preacher? They're murderers. No, they didn't murder Joseph, but that's what they wanted to do, you see. And yet it is that message of Joseph, this waiting upon that message for it to unfold, God begins to work and move in their hearts. Now get this, I see it, look at it. What are those 20-some years? What are those years like? What happened? They said and they think about Joseph. They think about his message. They think about the pain and suffering that he must have gone through. And they think about their father and all the hardships and heartache of their father. And they think about the message that was there. And they grieve in their heart. That's how God works. You know, I had a preacher say to me one time, some very hard things on a very personal basis, one-on-one. I was just in eighth grade. He changed my whole life. I was so mad at him, I never wanted to talk to him again. And as far as I know, I never have talked to him since. But I want to see him in heaven because he set me on the course of service to God. Not at the time, but later. You're going to have to wait, church. We pray, we preach, we wait on God, and God works in His time. And one day there's going to be some brothers that will say, Joseph, how could you do this? Joseph said, well, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. It's okay, I love you. Over the years, I've had people call me up. And a man called me from Pennsylvania, and he said, Brother Doyle, he said, I just want you to know, I appreciate you. Well, that may not mean much to you, but I have to tell you something. What I had to do in his life, he didn't like me. Maybe I ought to tell you about it. No, I guess I shouldn't. Should I tell you? No, I shouldn't tell you. You see, the preacher can't, can he? But here he is in his 70s working with young people in a church, and he calls me up after 30-some years and says, Brother Doyle, thank you. But he wouldn't already talk to me. But he said, thank you. Joseph waited for God to affect his brothers. I'm reminded of what Jesus said to the disciples, "Tarry till you be endued with power from on high." It's not easy to wait. And Joseph is the example, isn't he? Isn't he an example? I mean, I preach, and I think that there ought to be a result that night, maybe, you know. Maybe that moment. And sometimes there is. Aren't you thankful? But I sure don't want to wait 20 years. But Joseph waited. He had a message. He gave it. He was faithful. It was hated. But it was effective. And that's what a church is about. That really is what a church is about. It's not about a church. Can you imagine the church in the early century wanted to be popular in the community? That's not what it's about, is it? It's about the preaching of God's word, praying for God's Spirit to work and move, and taking the trouble that comes and waiting on God. Did the early church wait? Yes, they did. And you know who God gave, what God did? He gave them a Paul. Stephen being stoned, but preaching the word of God while he was stoned, and God gave him a Paul. Hallelujah. Now, this sermon originally was for preachers to preach. But I really think it applies as much, every bit as much, to a church. You are preachers. You have one person get up here and preach, but you are with him. You are amening him. You are encouraging him. You are for him. And people that come hear that. And they hear the message of God. And whether they are dealt with right then by the Spirit of God or they just are refusing it, yet in time, the message of God affects the brothers and they come in and repent. Hallelujah. You got your focus? That's what it's about. And I'm going to tell you something. It tastes a lot better. Although I like strawberry shortcake, it tastes a lot better than strawberry shortcake. It tastes wonderful. This is the work of the ministry. You may have never heard Joseph as being a preacher, but don't you think he was? And don't you think God uses his life to illustrate to us how we're to be? Some of you have relatives and friends. You may have worked with them for years. Keep working with them. Keep talking to them. Keep loving them. Keep building a life that would be of help to them. Walk as Christ would have you to walk so that they might see Christ. That's your purpose. That's your goal as a Christian. And when that ceases to be your purpose, then ask God to take you to heaven. It's a lot better there. Hallelujah. We're going to have an invitation. I think God's people every once in a while need to just take a good look at themselves and ask themselves, am I in where God wants me to be? In action? Attitude? Am I doing what God would have me to do? In the message, are we seeking the messages of God? How are we doing? How beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace. It won't be beautiful now, but to those that come to Christ, how beautiful Joseph is to them. Hallelujah. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Our Father, it is a wonderful thing to have Christian brothers and sisters, be able to see them, to get the encouragement from them, the love that we share with each other. That's a blessing. Lord, many a time I've gone to church and been encouraged and blessed by just the friendship of another Christian and their genuine love for me. That's Lord, wonderful. But Lord, it would not continue, I do not think, in its blessedness unless we had a common message and purpose, battle-hardened together, suffering together in the battles. Lord, we need that. Each person here needs the encouragement of others that have also gone through the battle of preaching the Word of God. We need each other. I pray that we would be, Lord willing. Joseph had to go alone in it. But you haven't put us exactly in that position. Help us, Lord, to help one another. And then I pray that we would be able to see the plan, how you do. It's repeated over and over. And that, Lord, we would be willing to go through that. That we might, Lord, preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And that, Lord, there would be that sending of you, us out to preach the word. And that, Lord, we'd be able to share these blessings. Bless this church. Lord, this is a week we need to set aside for you. There's people that have to go to work, I know. Lord, they can pray if they have a certain work they have to do tomorrow night. I pray we'd set this week aside, that we would, Lord, want the Word of God to be proclaimed again, and that we would be hungry for it ourselves, and that, dear Lord, it would then bring the effect in days ahead that you want. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just for a moment, we're going to sing a song. You can turn there if you'd like, 317.